What are Navy women like? My image is butch. They'll crush you with their pelvis.
Give me your wallet, your money, your keys right now. The guy's like, oh, how funny. He's like, no, I'm serious.
And how many aliens did you see?
If we want to get into aliens, like, I think.
All right, so we're starting the Some Dumb Gaijin podcast, and today my guest is Tyrone. And Tyrone, where did we meet?
Oh yeah, we actually met. Well, I guess technically we never met face to face. I think I first met you was we were doing some sort of reaction with Ak.
And yeah.
Ak-san and
with Ak.
Yeah. Ak, yeah, with Ak-san, and we were
nickname.
I can't remember what reaction it was, but like we were doing something. That's when I first met you, and then
was it the boys?
I think it must have been the boys.
Yeah,
actually, I think it was even something before that. Like it might have been what is that? Like maybe a live stream or something. We were doing something, but yeah, then but then we became more acquainted and. When we were doing the boys and some of the other reactions. And then really we became, I would say, if I dare say, friends.
Yeah, of course, man.
when we actually started doing Cobra Kai and we found out that we had like a lot of things in common. Cobra Kai.
Hell yeah, that was a good series.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, and then, unfortunately, I guess we never really got to meet face to face. You returned to Canada and I'm still over here in the land of the rising sun. I guess from that, and then I think also in the chat, just talking to each other in a group chat
online, the Korean app that every Japanese person uses, right? Talk about just giving your money away.
Yeah, really.
I mean, there's WeChat for China, then there's Facebook for the West, and then Line for Korea, and then Line for Japan.
For Japan, yeah.
Literally everyone uses, right? Do you remember, like, when I first came back to Japan, they had the Foodie something, where you had to shake your phone with infrared to get people's numbers?
Remember that? Yeah.
When I first saw it, I was like, this is the greatest freaking technology ever, and everyone's just like, this, can I get your number, shaking it, you look like such a tool. But and then that died.
Because I think also it can be like someone could accidentally, well, I guess you have to have the app open, I don't remember, but I guess like you accidentally shaking your, I don't know who walk around shaking their phone like you're eating nuts or something.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of crazy how Japan doesn't have their own, like, I think like they had like, what is it, Mixi? But that wasn't like an app.
Yeah,
that was like
what do you call it, My Page or whatever? Yeah, yeah, My Page, right?
Yeah, like MySpace.
MySpace, that's it. Yeah.
It was kind of like their version of MySpace, which kind of died out, and they never really since. I don't think they really have their own social media platform, unless you count was it 5chan or 2chan, which is
4chan. I think they have a lot of them now. They're weird.
Yeah, because
they attacked me on YouTube, huh?
Oh really? 4chan?
Yeah, because you remember that NHK video that was really racist?
Yeah.
So for anyone that doesn't know, NHK put out a video, you can see it on my channel, where they were like, the reason for the George Floyd riots were because black people were not getting paid at equal wages in America. And everyone's like, that has nothing to do with why they're doing it.
It's like it was like one dude heard like one reason, like, oh, that's the reason. It's never one reason, but we have to get into that. But I remember that. Yeah, it was the animated video.
Yeah, with the tank top, the gold chain, stereotypical Japanese image of a black gangster.
Oh, racist.
Right. No, so man. when that happened, I took it from their Twitter because I knew that they were gonna take it down and be like, we didn't do that. So I took it down and I put it up, and then everyone's like, oh, thank God you put that up. Oh, this is good. But then 4chan, or this like otaku nerd channel, just attacked me with spam bots going like, that's good they did that.
Oh yeah, that was definitely 2chan.
Yeah, because I saw the analytics.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
2chan is like the original 4chan. 2chan is the Japanese version, then 4chan. I guess from what I understand became the Western version or English version of, which is like, I knew someone who recommended, I was like, oh, I want to improve my Japanese. It's like, honestly, if you, like, I was like, I want to learn like more like, I guess like modern, like kind of slangy Japanese. He was like, oh, go on 2chan if you want to learn like internet speak. He's like, but it's very toxic. He's like, so go at your own risk. I was like, oh, never mind. I avoid social media as much as possible.
If you can, man. Oh, I'm getting bad into it again. Because every time I see the little like alert, like one message, I have to do it. Like my brain is super addicted right now. So I'm like Instagram, Facebook, whatever it's called.
I was like, oh, I'm just going to hop on to Twitter and right, like I get like an alert, oh, this person tweeted, and I like, or like I got Cassandra or someone, and it's like, oh, and I scroll down, like, what the fuck's even like that? And then I click on it, like, what are they saying about this guy's tweet? I was like, what? Who's this guy? And then he found his rabbit hole, and I find myself getting angry at things that don't really matter to me in my personal life.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's a big problem in society right now.
Yeah.
The addiction to social media.
Yeah, because I've been trying to make myself like use things like Twitter more, because I want to like promote the podcast that I'm working on, which I talk about more, that I'm trying to do, and just other projects I'm trying to work on. So I'm trying to promote myself so I can have sort of an audience both in. So if I have something to put out, I know that at least I have some people listening, and that's how you grow your audience. But it's like, you go in there, it's like, like I go to tweet, like, well, what do I want to say? No, I'll just, it's like, well, I don't want to talk about the Ukraine. I don't want to talk about this. Like, what do I want to talk about? And like, but you also want to talk about those things because you want the engagement. So then when you have the engagement, then you can talk about the things you really want to talk about. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing now, is that people just want to be part of a conversation. So when they have something that they want to say, that they know someone's going to listen. Yeah. In my opinion, I don't know if that's fact or not, but yeah.
Well, and social media is always changing. And like when I was in Japan, I did this app called 17 Live, I think it is.
17 Live,
Yeah, so you've heard of it, right? And I got pretty into that because I would, I'd stream for like 2 hours a day. And then all of a sudden I had a 2,000 person following. And then because I was a comedian and spoke Japanese, all these Japanese people come on and they're like, "Ipatsu gyago onegaishimasu," which means like do a funny one-liner. And then I would do one, but then every day I'm doing it and I'm like, I don't know what to say today. And then because it's weird. It's in Japan, it's a very weird culture as the live streaming, because people obsess, and there's a lot of stalking in Japan, a lot of crazy ex-boyfriends, a lot of crazy ex-girlfriends. There's hosts and hostesses, and then their customers go on there. I think like the top earner there was making like $10,000 for a day for streaming 2 hours a day, because he would bring his host or his clients from the host bar that are like people that drink with him.
Yeah.
Long story, but it's weird.
I know, like it's definitely that the host culture here in Japan is very interesting.
Yeah.
For like, I'm very like, who's that guy's name? Roland? He's like the highest.
Oh, guy. Yeah. That guy's ugly as fuck, though. Yeah. Like, how is he? Like, I wouldn't even want to drink with that guy. YouTube account deleted. Sorry.
Yeah, this guy is like, I mean, he seems like, and it's like, I asked my wife, I was like, do you think is he attractive? She's like, oh, he's okay. But I think it's more of a confidence thing, a personality thing. And like you said, he's very funny. He's probably very entertaining.
Yeah.
And that helps, you know,
when you talk all day.
You can be a pretty face, but then if after a while the person's like, this guy's nice to look at, but he's super boring, I'm not entertained, I'm not spending all this money. Mm-hmm. You gotta kind of have, so yeah, because I know it's like some of the top hostesses are not always like the most attractive person, they're probably the most charming person.
Oh yeah, like I knew another one that because I was a comedian on there, there was another comedian, and she was overweight, really chunky girl, but she would do funny like bits. Like you turn on her channel and she's just like dancing all crazy, and you know, people are like, oh, like send presents, she's just making mad money. But I thought that social media was going to turn into that. Like I thought live streaming was going to kill Instagram everything, because then you can view them live, but it didn't really pick up as much in the West.
Yeah, I mean, like, people have Twitch and stuff, but it's like there's only a handful of the people, all the people who actually live stream on Twitch and YouTube and stuff, only a handful of them are really having any true success, like where that they can do it full time and have a great life. You know, like you have your Pokemans and your Markiplier and all these other people who are really massive, you know, like everyone knows their name. Even if you never watch any of their videos, you know exactly right. Like I can say I probably watched, I don't know, 10, 15 PewDiePie videos, maybe, not maybe less.
Oh, really?
But I know exactly who he is.
Everyone knows PewDiePie.
Everyone knows, like, I've seen him on like other people's YouTube channels who I do watch. So like he's friends with some other YouTubers that I like watching their videos. So people are like, oh, PewDiePie's on this guy's channel.
But and, it's really different though, right? Like the live streamers are just kind of like, hello everyone, I just woke up, I'm gonna brush my teeth, so I'm gonna take you with me. You know what I mean? It's really like Truman Show like, whereas streaming, at least you're watching people game and they're just you can tell it's fake, right? And that's why there was that
you mean like the real life streamers or in real life IRR, like the real like the chat streamers where they're just taking you around their day vlog.
Like that's kind of what I felt 17 Live was it was a Truman Show. Like they don't turn it off, you're with them for the day, which like kind of goes into the culture of like hired boyfriends and hired girlfriends, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's a kind of a weird thing. That's why it only stuck with Japan. Like we have Instagram Live, which is similar, but no one does it for like an hour.
Actually on Twitch there are some streamers who do that, like their fans follow them around. There's people there's people who actually record themselves sleeping. That's like a big thing on Twitch. I mean, it's like a niche, it's not like, but it's like that's a big thing. And I think it was actually some Twitch girl was having problems because some guy was super convinced that he was her boyfriend or something. Like he's like a really crazy person. Because I think like she would interact with her fans, obviously there. And then, you know, she would talk to him, but she talked to him a lot of her fans, like, no, it's like, oh, because they come a lot. She's like, oh, hi, Toby14, how are you today? And he's like, oh, God. She said my screen name or whatever. And so it got so bad that I'm going to start right. This guy figured out where she was at, where she lived. Like, I think she was even trying to keep the city she lived in a secret, you know, where somehow he figured out where she lived. And then when he found out what city, he went to that city and eventually he, like, just from the thing she said, he could figure out where she shopped at or something, and he found her. So it was like, this guy put in like a lot of effort in that, you know?
It's not even that much effort though nowadays, right? It's not, look at me go outside my house and then boom, you see the number on the house, right?
Yeah, sometimes, or even like, they just like if you, like, that's why like a lot of streamers or a lot of people, like when they YouTube videos, they blur out like the background where they're at.
Like this?
Because if someone sees one store or one job and it's like, oh, they can go to Google Maps, Google Earth, and they can just search that name of that store. And it's like, well, I know what state you live in, so I'm going to figure out what city you're in now.
Yeah. I think that's like my birth certificate right here. And this is like my will and like the safe combination right there. That's why my screen's all blurred right now.
Yeah.
Too much information. There's a list of girlfriends right there.
And you also
I pointed to the smallest area.
You also have your list of usernames and passwords.
Right there. What was that? But because it reminds me, every time I hear stories like that, it reminds me of that one famous video game one where it was like a 14-year-old and he was fighting one of the like our generation of video gamers, and he's like, yeah, you like that? Suck my dick. Oh, grenade, motherfucker. And then the guy's like, I will kill you. And the kid's like, yeah, try. I live in Detroit at blah, 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 West 49th Avenue. And the guy went right to his house and just fucking stabbed the shit out of him.
Oh yeah, I heard.
And remember that? Yeah. And me and my cousin were like, I don't know, 22. We just looked at each other. We're like, fuck yeah. Like, a horrible thing. I mean, it's horrible. And we didn't want the kid to die, but we're just like, you know what? Now maybe they'll stop fucking running their mouths, you know?
Yeah. You have to be careful, like, because you can say, oh, well, here's my address, come and get me. Like, I think even when I was younger, I had that mindset, younger being like 20s, like, where, like, I would go on and playing like a game, like, you know, well, here's my address, you're not going to come and find me. If you're crazy enough to come to my house, but then they might just be crazy enough to come to your house. And but they may be crazy enough to stalk you and just like, well, I'm gonna wait and I'm gonna catch you when you're unaware. It's just, it's
online. Jesus, you got threatened bad then.
Well, no, and I said that didn't happen. I would never give someone my address.
Okay, thank God.
I wouldn't like, people were like, where do you live at? Oh, I would just lie. Like,
hey. I don't know why. Like, that's one thing I never got was, you know, like in movies and shit, they do that too. It's just like, tell us where the gold is. And they're like, oh, okay, it's in my house under the floorboards. It's like, why didn't you fucking lie? You know what I mean? They never do that in movies. It's like, oh, where did you hide your gold? It's like, oh, I did it in like Russia. You have to go to Russia and check. So, you know, you got to keep me alive to make sure that it's okay. But it's in Russia. You know what I mean? They always just fold right away. Or even I felt it was the same thing. Like if someone told me online, they're like, yeah, you know what, JJ, you're a melting motherfucker. We're going to go and kill you. I'd be like, oh yeah, come find me. I live in Antarctica at 394 West Street. Go find me. It's cold as fuck. And then he would like go there and die in the frozen wasteland trying to find me. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I would make sure I like always know where the bad side of town is at. Mm-hmm. Like the worst people, most dangerous people, and I'll just pick one of those addresses and be like, oh yeah, this is my address, hoping they'll go there and get, like, you should get to go there. I mean, I don't want you to get hurt, but I mean, I don't want to get hurt, so if you're crazy enough to do it,
right
or I would give them like the, like, oh yeah, here's my address, like, wait, this is the police station exactly.
Yeah, just cut him right there. Put him up beforehand. It's like, there's a guy coming in. He's looking for me to kill me. So you can do the rest.
I would just think about what you were saying about how they like said, where's the money? And they tell, like, I think it was some movie I saw where they guys like, where's the money? Where's the, like, whatever. And the guy told him. And then they killed him. The guy was like, wait a minute. Why'd you kill him? What if he was lying? Oh, like.
Okay, so one movie did that then.
One movie was that? And then they killed the guy before they even confirmed his information.
Yeah.
It was some, it was like, why did you just kill that guy? Well, he told us what we want. I was like, wait a minute. Like, what if he was lying? Mm-hmm. I think in a movie they were not lying. I was like, I wish this guy was lying for once.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess some movies do justice now, but.
It's not always.
Yeah, not always.
No, yeah, they just dragging a guy around. I'm like, someone must have moved it. Well, in this case, it's probably here. And it's 6 months later.
Oh, and then on one of our last podcasts, we were talking, I think it was a Cobra Kai one for Akasan, actually, but we were talking about you being in the military again, right?
Yes.
So what were you in the military, by the way?
Oh, I was, avionics technician, short aviation electronics technician. So I fixed electronic systems in aircraft.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like the weapon systems, the navigation, communications, radar, all of that stuff.
Cool. And how many aliens did you see?
I didn't get to see any.
Where are you looking?
Official statement is there are no aliens.
What?
Yes.
But the Pentagon came out. The Pentagon said there were unidentified flying objects. It's proven.
There are no aliens.
Okay. I see. You got the truth serum in you. You got the truth serum in you.
like programming.
Yeah.
Honestly, if we want to get into aliens, like I think that they
you
are.
Saw something?
I didn't see anything. I wish I did. I think. There are aliens, but I if you want to go down a crazy conspiracy hole, I can get pretty deep.
Well, not yet. Yeah, and I'm sure you can get pretty deep, but hey, this is a children's program, and let's keep it PG. I'm joking.
But, yeah, well, so yeah, I did I did that. But also, I guess in the military, depending on, like, you don't always do one job because they really have you doing like a lot of things. I think the coolest thing I ever did was I was a pilot for target drones. Mm. Not drones, not like attack drones. They're like training drones for what we would do is we'll fly like a flight pattern and aircraft will try to shoot us down, or we'll fly like a pattern and like a ship would try to shoot down the drone.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and actually we would also every summer we did a operation called Carrot. It's not a secret, you can look it up. And we would do it with other countries like Singapore, Thailand, Philippines, who else? Indonesia before. But we would train with these other countries. And the thing is we'll fly our drone and if they shoot it down, they pay for it. So obviously they don't pay us. They pay the government. Like if they shoot down a drone, you break it, you bought it type thing. So if they shoot down a drone, then like their government would send money to like the US government. Okay, we shot down a drone. Thanks. You know.
But they want to shoot it, right?
Yeah, they want it.
Target practice.
But we, the drone's fast.
How much does one drone cost?
Not as expensive as an aircraft, but about $600,000 to $700,000.
Wow!
In my mind, I'm thinking that's not very expensive, but it really is. But because like I worked on billion-dollar aircraft, so I would, you know. So I was like,
do you ever think of like stealing one and just being like, peace?
Oh, it's really massive. I wish I had a picture of one, but it's really massive. It's like a giant missile. But So that was one of the coolest thing I got to do. And actually, I got to see it.
That sounds really dope. How fast do they go, though?
Oh, I can't remember, honestly, but very fast. Like,
I saw a video of one recently, and it was just like it stood up, and it was like, and it's gone. And it's like,
it'd go very fast. Even the ones we had were very old, but. Like when I first started doing it, because this is like a long time ago, when I first started doing it, we had to take like plotting paper, and we had to draw it on with a pencil on like this plotting paper, and do it using like calculations, and because we couldn't see it, and then we use like a plotter, which is like a pencil on a needle, and that's how we knew where the drone was at.
Oh, trippy!
This is a long time ago, and then eventually. They upgraded our systems and we got this, which looked like a freaking video game where you can see it on like this like a radar thing and had like a joystick like an aircraft, and that became easier because it's less work for me. I'd had to sit up for 3 hours trying to do math and figure out with this engineer exactly where this thing's going to be at, because we may be wrong like if there's a loss in signal, but once you upgrade the system. So that was the coolest thing we did.
So you flew those?
Yeah, we flew those. Like I was surprised. I was thinking, oh, good old racist America, not gonna let black guys. I was like, oh no, you're well, compliment for me, not bragging. It's like, well, you're one of our smarter ATs, so we think you can do it. I was like, oh, you guys are sweet.
And how many people were flying them? How many of them were at a time?
Like our whole detachment was maybe 20 people, but only like three of us. We're pilots. It was me, another guy, and then they had a civilian who's like an engineer.
Okay.
Yeah, but usually he would want us to pilot it because it gives us opportunity. But we also had a radio controlled speedboat. We had a radio controlled jet ski.
Are those for Navy practice or like target?
Yeah. So we had like, which is very cool. I remember. one of my friends was on like the freaking speedboat because you can drive it or radio control. I guess
so it's life size.
Yeah, it's actual speedboat. Yeah.
Oh, trippy.
Yeah, and we can drive. But I remember something. I think they had it switched over to radio. He was doing something, and then the freaking civilian guy turned it on and he took control of it. When the guy was on the boat, he didn't. The guy's like, "Whoa, come on, man!" So
he was like, "The Russians had taken it over."
He just did a couple of loops. The guy's like, "Come on, man, you guys!" Which was so funny, but I was dying. But so then point of it, and it was just trying to teach me, like, make sure you know. Have the nodes turned off. You don't have it where someone can take control of. If you're driving, make sure it's in operator mode, not radio control mode. Okay. So it was so funny, but like, so we did like cool things like that. That was probably the coolest thing I did. And it's probably the reason why I decided to stay in the Navy, because I was going to get out after two tours. So about after 8 years, I was just going to get out and finish my degree and go do something else. I didn't want to do 20 years, but because I did something like, this is cool, I can do things like this in the Navy, so I'm going to stay. And it was kind of downhill from there.
How long were you in the Navy for then?
20 years.
20 years. Holy shit.
I mean, I guess it's an advantage. You can go in young and you can kind of get out young.
Yeah.
Young.
And then would you say you're a vet then?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So then thank you for your service.
Thank you for your
service. For my service, what did I do?
People laugh. Okay, so I did.
But, I guess.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool because I met a lot of like vets living in Japan, and I've never really met many vets outside of Japan, or well, Canada, right? But you know Midori, right? Who does a lot of graphics for Akasan. I think he does the graphics for Black Rifle Coffee as well, which I think is a Joe Rogan sponsor now or something crazy. But anyways, he served in Afghanistan, I think. Sorry if I got that wrong. So it's kind of cool to have vets as friends and stuff. And I, as a Canadian, right, we don't have a lot of a huge vet like image, really. It's very American, but knowing people like you and him and things like that, I actually have a deep gratitude for you guys and all you did. So it's really cool to hear your stories and hear about all the stuff you guys did. So that's why I wanted to talk to you about it.
Oh yeah, no problem. Like I have a ton of stories, just work related, and also just, well, what we call liberty is when you're not working, when you go out, you can do what you want. We call it liberty. So even things being on liberty and in like other countries, like I have some hilarious stories I could tell you one day. But yeah, it's just so for me, I was sort of tricked into joining to the Navy. I think I was like indoctrinated by my uncle.
Oh.
Because when I was a teenager, he was a military man. Like when he was a teenager, he joined the army. I think he quit the army. Like he left, he didn't go back to the army because he was, when they were training, one of his friends, a snake crawled into one of his friend's sleeping bag.
I got a snake in my boots.
Yeah, and it bit him. And I guess the guy died in his sleep. And he's like, I don't want to do the army anymore. So he left the army, and then he joined the Navy. And that's where he spent. And that's where he spent the rest of his military career. But when I was a teenager, he would always say, Tyrone, remember, when you join the Navy, do this. I was like, what are you talking about? We call him Pop. Like, he's my grandpa. I was like, wait, we talking about Pop? I'm not going to join the Navy. Mm-hmm. He's like, you remember, you know, when you join the Navy, you know, you have to study for your exams if you want to advance. I was like, what is this man on? I'm not joining the military. And he would always say stuff like that. Like he would always want me to go. Like he would go on, like there's our army base in my city, so he wanted me to go on the base with him to go shopping for things and stuff. And just like for some reason, I guess he wanted me. Because I guess I was I'm the oldest of my mom's children. I'm probably the oldest grandchild for my grandparents. I'm like usually the older of that, my generation. And so I guess for me, he wanted one of us, because my cousin, his son, joined the Navy too, but he quit after 4 years. So he's like, well, I want one of these people to go into the military.
Yeah, right. I want one winner out of the family.
So he would always do that. And I remember when I was a senior in high school, my first year, probably the first month of my senior year, it was like a recruiter there. It was during my lunch period. I had free eating. I was like, oh, I'm going to walk by. And I was like, oh, you're in the Navy. I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, actually, my uncle was in the Navy. He was like, oh, yeah, what was his rank? I was like, oh, he was, I think, like senior chief, whatever that is. He was like, oh, nice. Like, what about you? You think about it? I was like, I don't know. He's always talking to me about it, but I plan on going to art school and over in Atlanta when I get out of high school. And he's like, listen, my sheet here is blank. Can you just do me a favor and just put your name and phone number here? Because like, if I don't get enough names here, I'm going to get in trouble with my boss. It was a trick.
He got you.
I got a lot of names. Just like, they always like, oh. And then so I was like, yeah, I don't
mind. He signed this contract with blood. You know, it's nothing, just a technicality.
This guy must have been really good because I don't remember telling him all this stuff about me, but he figured out where I worked. He figured out, what happened was I put my address. So they went to my home that evening. I'm assuming no other kids signed her name. Went to my home that evening and my mom said, oh, he's at work right now. And then, because my mom's like, maybe people, what do you want? She's like, oh, this is, she wanted it more than I did. She's like, oh yeah, that sounds good.
So oh shit. She wanted you to join as well, huh? Your mom and your uncle.
Yeah, I think she's probably, they're probably working together secretly, but so I'm like working.
Mutiny in the family.
At that time I was in a grocery store working in a seafood department.
Okay.
So I'm like in my, like the counter, like whatever I put on the counter. And then I saw the gun. I was like, I've never seen any Navy people walking around here. The recruiting office is nowhere near my grocery store. Mm-hmm. And then he came in. He's like, hey, Ty, what's up, buddy? It's like, oh, hi.
Wait, was it a black guy or a white guy?
It was a white guy. But
and he was just like, hey, Ty, what's up, homie?
What was crazy is like he also had a black guy with him.
Oh, okay.
And they just...
So what is that called? He had a red herring? I got one black friend, Ty.
I know people. And he had like one of those hand baskets and a can of Pringles.
Okay.
Like, people are shopping for a can of Pringles. Like, hey, what's up? So, hey, how are you doing? It's like, oh, so did you think about it? It's like, I don't know. It's like, oh, it's like, well, what time do you get off? I'm a high schooler, so I was like, well, I get off in like another half hour. It's like, oh, no problem. We'll just shop around. And then when you get off work, we'll give you a ride home. I was like, oh, you don't have to do that. I was like,
sec. I gotta reiterate this. Yeah. So two people from the Navy came in to the seafood department. One guy, and I'm guessing it's the white guy, was holding a can of fucking Pringles. And they're just like, oh, hey, Ty, remember me?
Exactly, that guy. And he had like one of the hand baskets, like in a Pringle. I wish I could remember the flavor, but I can't. But yeah, he's sitting there. He's like, I just remember, it's like
probably grape.
like walking around, and literally they walked around that 30 minutes with that single can of Pringles, and I don't think they even bought it. I don't remember them purchasing it, but
it probably had steaks in it. You know, those little pop out steaks. He's like, we got to bring this back to the Navy. This is a borrowed prop from the Navy.
Well, yeah, I remember it. I was like, yeah, like, we'll give it right home. I was like, oh, it's like, that's literally my home, my house is like right around the street. It's very, just a safe neighborhood. I'm okay. And it's like, oh, no, it's okay. We'll give it right home. And you know, we want to meet your mom. I was like, my mom has a guy. My mom's a married lady. Yeah. No, but so
you thought they were hitting on it?
No, I was joking. No. Then they took me home, and then so they're like, well, so like, do you want to join the Navy? I was like, well, what do you want to do? Just how much I'm gonna earn. I was like, well, you know, I like art. I was like, so I want to go to art school in Atlanta. I was like, but then eventually I want to go to this animation school in Japan. I was in love with Japan at the time. Even back then, I was like, yeah, I want to go to Japan, you know. And it's like, so it's like, you know, that sometimes our ships go to Japan and you can go up and meet people. I was like, oh, really? It's like, also, we have some bases in Japan. It's like, we don't have any bases in Japan. I said, yeah, we do, really. And I was like, huh. And it's like, yeah, so you know, Jonathan, like, you can live in Japan if you want. And on an 89. It's like, oh, and then it's like, also, you know, like on the ships now, they're integrated. So there's men and women. So honestly, I mean, you can also like have a date, like have a girlfriend on a boat. Then when you pull in,
you can. So they threw Japanese women at you.
That, and also Navy women, which I'm good. I'm good on the Navy women. But yeah.
What? Navy women?
Yeah, like they were saying like, no, like there are also like women in the Navy, you know.
Are they saying like women that work in the Navy, or are they saying that they're mermaids? Yeah. They're just like, come and join the army and we'll give you some mermaids.
No, they were like women are in the Navy.
Okay.
If they would have said mermaids, I'd be like, well, of course, I'm in now. Mermaids?
Really? I don't know. What was it? Futurama, where Fry met this hot mermaid and she's like, oh, let's do it. And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, oh yeah, you just fertilize the eggs. And then, you know what I mean? Like, there was no sex involved.
Yeah.
It was a funny episode.
Yeah, I get it. I was just thinking, like my brain, I started like thinking of the logistics of how that would work. It's like, that's just, yeah, you wouldn't
want to. It's a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing. I was talking to someone recently about Disney's Fantasia. Have you ever watched that?
Yes, that's the, yes.
And this is actually probably going to turn into a bit, so I'm kind of shitty doing it on here, but there's a part in the Fantasia where there's these beautiful naked chicks bathing. And I was like, oh, this is a kid show? Shit, this is pretty good. And they come out and you see the bottom half is a horse. They're centaurs.
Oh, yeah.
And it took me a bit because I was like, well, the top half is good. Is it bad, or is it, you know, or what if you just do stuff with the top half? Are you safe? Is that, you know? That turned out more creepy than the bit. The bit's more funny than that, but.
I got it. That would be like, yeah.
But what are Navy women like? My image is butch. They'll crush you with their pelvic, like smush smush from Futurama again.
Most is like,
no,
you women are regular girls. I mean, like, maybe depend, it all depends on their job. Like,
okay,
like I know girls who are like ordnance men, so like they work on like ordnance, like bombs and missiles, like they loading like the bombs on aircraft and stuff.
Some of those girls
are tough because it's physical work and no one's going to let you be like, oh, I'm a girl, I can't do.
Okay, a little technical troubles there. So what were you saying? You were like, ha!
Oh, yeah. So there are some like
frisky babies down under.
Yeah, some girls who are very, you know, butch, because like their job's physical. But then there's like girls who work in like the offices and stuff, who are more feminine.
Oh, they're secretaries.
They wear makeup. They because they work in an office. They do like administrative work or whatever. Or are they just like personnel, like doing like handling people's like personnel records or pay or something, like someone who doesn't do any physical
work? How are like the female jet flyers?
Pilots?
I feel like they would be like pin you down to the ground. I've been up. I've been away for too long.
Oh.
Type. He's just like, wife? I'm just joking.
No. Hot.
Hot? Really?
I mean, they're like, there's like just college kids. Like, and like,
Top Gun for women?
Yeah, some of them.
Oh, shit.
Doctors, too.
Damn.
Usually, I mean, I felt like they were just like, oh, we're going to go to the modeling school to get all our.
I feel like they get freaky in the jets. I don't know. Maybe. I had one story, a buddy of mine, he was in one of the bases. Me and my buddy, we would call him Captain America because he was like, you know, he looked like the perfect haircut blonde guy from like Texas. He had the best body and he worked on this ship and just the nicest guy, like Captain America, flat out. If there's a real Captain America, he was it. And I think he worked like intelligence. So like I was joking, like, oh, tell me about North Korea. He's like, I can't tell you. But I was like, okay, tell me the weirdest thing that ever happened. He talked about one time he caught a guy on the back of the warship. And I guess he had a gas mask on and no clothes and he was jerking off the side of the ship. And he's just like, I came out there and I was just like, what the fuck? And then turned around and I was like, yeah, you get some creepy shit there, I bet.
Yeah, it's one of the things where you're like, I don't want to be responsible for this situation. So I'm going to go ahead and let someone else find you and because I don't want any part of this. Yeah, this is sometimes situations like that. Like, I mean, there's like a ship is massive.
Yeah.
Like there are.
He told me one guy got lost for 2 months because all the doors look the same, right?
You can definitely, especially an aircraft carrier, you can definitely get lost, especially if you go like deeper. Like there's place, like I remember, like we would have to deal with like our supply people.
Mm.
Like, I need this, like something like whatever package or whatever. This part, it's like, oh yeah, but you're gonna have to carry it yourself. I was like, okay, no problem. It's not very heavy, but we were just going deep down the lower decks of the ship, and I was like,
oh, damn,
isn't that big? Like, did we go through a portal into another dimension? Because I swear we went down like 10 floors. And he's like, come on. And like, we're going, it's like, okay, it's like, we're going to have to go through this crack here. And I was like, wait, what? Like, why?
How many floors is there in?
10 up, 10 down.
Oh, so 20? One?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, hold on. Wait, am I wrong? No, sorry. That was, I just made that up. Did I freeze again?
No.
Okay. Because we have the hangar bay, the third deck, four. So some ships are 10, but the 10 includes the tower.
Okay.
We're on a flight deck, so yeah.
But yeah, was there any rooms you couldn't go in?
It's plain. It's like, especially like if it's a nuclear carrier, you can't go to what's called like reactor, where they have like the nuclear reactor. And there's obviously because it's a nuclear reactor, there's places you can't go because there's secrets and there's intelligence. Like if
there is secrets. Now we're getting into it. If you had to guess, where in the ship would they hide the aliens?
Oh, honestly? Yeah, probably somewhere in the lower decks.
Well, of course.
Probably, I would say my prediction would be the middle of the ship.
Middle of the ship?
One, because it has the least motion.
Yeah.
Especially if they want someone to not really know where they're at.
You don't want the aliens getting seasick.
But even in my job, because we work with the aircraft and have secret codes.
Oh, you do have secret codes.
Yeah, because like for like the radar and stuff. So we actually had like safes and stuff. Like only a few people knows the combo to the safe. Right? Oh. For me, like if I was in charge of like, Miller, can you open the safe for me? It's like, yeah. Is anyone else in here? It's like, all right, your friend, he has to go. You got to go. And you can't be here, even though it doesn't matter. Like if they were to see those codes, they won't know what they mean. They're very useless to it. But this is just over the top. Like, well, what if they write them down and they give it to someone who knows? Like, well, okay, maybe. But
see, I'm bad with that. Like, I can't have people have things over me. Like when you were talking about the guy getting bit by the snake, I was just like, I can't do that. I got Viking blood, so I have to go to Valhalla. So I can't have like a useless death.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to die like in a glorious battle or something. Although I don't believe in war, so.
Yeah.
But I mean, those secrets would drive me insane. Like, can you tell me an example of a secret, or do they still use them?
Oh well, like those codes, I wouldn't remember them anyway.
Oh no. I mean, like, were they cool? Like, were they Alpha 659, or was it Green Bay Packers number one?
It was like alphanumeric codes and stuff.
Oh, so it was like really hard. Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering.
And they change constantly. So
yeah.
Like we're like, oh, I got the new code, put them in a safe. Like, so yeah. But it's just like things like that. But I do have one funny story.
Oh yeah, sure.
Is me and my friend, we wanted to spread a rumor on the ship. Well, my friend is more like, he wanted to see how long it takes a rumor to spread on the ship, on like a mass ship. It's like, he's like, we were thinking, he's like, well, you know what? When we go eat lunch today, I'm going to make up a fake story because people are listening around here, right? It's like, I want you to just go along with it. I was like, okay. He's like, and I want to see how long it takes before this rumor gets back to me. I was like, okay, we'll see. So the rumor was, he said, I hear that we're going to go over to Egypt because there's some issues there. And so, because we were like we're deployed. He's like, I hear we're going over to Egypt. And and we're going to pull in there for a few days. Then we're going to pull out and we're going to do some training with the Egyptian army or some crap. Like, I can't remember what exactly said. It's like, really? And I was like, oh, wow. We could see people like, listen, like, what? Huh. And then literally, the next day, he's like, dude, someone from one of the other shops just told me that they heard we're going to Egypt because they have nuclear weapons. It's like, it changed that much.
Oh, shit. So it's like that telephone game, you know? Someone adds on to the end of it.
And it got so bad that literally they came on, like they made an announcement on the ship. It's like, listen, there's a rumor going around that we're going to Egypt. We're not going to Egypt. So I just want to go ahead and just take that rumor off the table. And he was like, he's like, dude, this blew up way bigger than I thought it would be. He's like, I thought maybe it would spread and some people will, I just wanted to see how long it takes to get back to me. He's like, this kind of blew up. I was like, yeah.
That's crazy.
This is crazy. I was like, dang, that's ridiculous.
I wonder how many people actually did that. You know what I mean? Oh, like, okay. I'm gullible as shit. So if like I was in that cafeteria and someone's like, dude, on the bottom deck, there's aliens. I would be like,
it happened.
I'm the James Bond shit.
That's another thing we would do. Like whenever new people to the ship would come on, they'd be like, hey, there's like, we'd be like, hey, have you been to the pool yet? It's like, what? The pool? Like, what pool? It's like the swimming pool. It's on the fourth deck. You got to go down. There's a swimming pool. It's like, yeah, it's next to the McDonald's. There's a McDonald's. It's like, yeah, but you have to be like E7 and above to eat there. Like, why? What can we have? It's like, well, they don't have a lot of supplies. And we just make stuff to newer people and just tell them like, well, we have like, yeah. It's like, actually, you know what I hear? I hear that the captain of the boat and the other senior officers have a bar that they go to on a weekend on the ship, and they're just making stuff up.
Yeah.
Just to mess with new people. I mean, yeah. So it's just things like that. When you're deployed, you do get bored and you tend to make up stupid games. And
well, I mean, we do that in general, mostly men, right? Yeah, like we do that with our friends. We do that with like college hazings. We do that with just talking with friends and being goofs. But yeah. And something about tricks is funny.
And if you want to talk about true weirdos, people on submarines are very, very like, I've never been on a submarine, but I have friends.
Who's the dumbest people, if you had to say, whether like Army, Navy, all that, like, who are like, you can say it, it's fine. The majority, you're kind of like, oh, I don't want to work with those guys.
We would say Marines.
Marines, really?
Marines are impressive people.
Or is it just testosterone?
Well, because Marines and the Navy are part of the same department.
Like, okay. Yeah.
Like you have the Department of the Army, Department of the Air Force, and Department of the Navy includes the Navy and the Marines, because the Marines ride on Navy ships like when they go places. So they're part of the Department of the Navy. And they also tease us because they would always say that they are the men's department. Or the men's section of the Navy Department, and we're like the ladies section because they're
shit.
So they say things like that, you know. But it's all out of, you know, no one really gonna fight each other over it. It's sort of like a family thing, like, oh, we're just teaching each other. But I guarantee if you were out in trouble and a Marine saw you and they knew you were in the Navy, they would help you out.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's like a brother thing, like
little brother, like brother thing. Yeah,
it's kind of like I can call my sister a bitch, but you can't.
Yeah,
sort of thing, you know. Yeah, so I think
that's a weird example. Did you call your sister a bitch before?
No. My sister is younger than me, but she would kick my butt. No. Like my sister was the only girl, and she ran the siblinghood, I guess, you know, as things go, you know. But yeah, I joke to Marines, but I think people in the Army are dumb.
Yeah, I like how you snuggled that out. Like, you
all of them, dumb. Not all of them, but I just feel like,
I don't know. They do the grunt work.
Yeah. Would you say that? Yeah, no.
But, it's okay. We don't have to dollar. Yeah.
And then, with the Air Force, we always said that they're not really military.
Okay.
Because they would call each other by their first names. We would say, like, they're like the most funded military branch. Like their bases are usually nicer. They have the nicest bases. They have nicest facilities on their bases. They're like accommodations for like their lower ranking airmen.
Okay.
A lot better than accommodations for like a sailor or a Marine or a soldier. So we would always say, oh, they're like, and just feel like, oh, they're not. They're so casual, you know. We act like people would call them the chair force.
The chair force?
Because they were just like, you're always at a desk doing something, chair force.
Okay.
Of course, yeah, but No, it's like all jokes. All military branches are badass in their own way. But you did, you did remind me of a story I didn't want to tell. It has nothing to do with the Navy. It has nothing to do with the military. But you were talking about like men like doing jokes on each other. And I would say the people who I think have the funniest and most evil practical jokes on each other are comedians. Hands like shit to a normal person, they would be like, that's fighting. That's, you're gonna get your ass kicked. Where other comedians are like, that's hilarious. Like, for example, who was it? What's his name?
I don't know. What does he look like? Give me a hint. I know my comedians.
Redhead comedian.
Louis C.K. Dave Chappelle.
Louis C.K. Louis C.K., right?
Why is he Dave Chappelle? Fuck. I meant to say Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. I mean, they're both goats. But yeah, Louis C.K. he said a story where he was in New York and he saw like another comedian had just bought a slice of pizza and he went over and just slapped it out of his hand. And then everyone cracked up because he thought it was funny. It's like, it's mean, but it was someone he knew. But I was thinking, I was like, comedians are like brutal now, but even back in the 50s and 60s, comedians were brutal. Cause do you know Mel Brooks?
Yeah, of course.
I know Mel Brooks, right?
Simpson.
I've been listening to his audiobook on his autobiography. And he told a story where when he was working on this television show, and I guess there's another comedian writer, and they were walking home, and I guess they were in New York and they're going to an alley, and he was thinking, man, you know what? Like, this is a dark alley. Like, someone could rob someone easily. And so he turned around to his friend. He's like, hey, give me your wallet, your money, your keys right now. The guy's like, oh, how funny. He's like, no, I'm serious. Give me your shit right now. And the guy gave it to him. He's like, no, run. And then later, his boss called. He's like, hey, did you rob him? He's like, yeah, I did. But don't say anything. It's a joke. Don't say anything. He's like, just go along with it. He's like, okay. So he didn't say anything. Like, the guy came to work, he'd act like nothing happened. He didn't mention it. And then like a week later, he's like, hey, I have a strange memory of robbing you. Did that happen? He's like, yeah. And I could really use my wallet and keys back. He's like, okay. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, no, sometimes I just do crazy things like that. I have urges like I can't control.
Okay.
Fast forward a year later, they're riding in a paddle boat together and they go under a bridge. And he's like, this is another good spot to rob someone. Look at him, and he said, give me your wallet and keys and everything right now. Now get out of the boat. I guess it's waist-high water. The guy got out of the paddle boat and then I walked back to the pier. The guy walked back, but this time he waited like a couple of days. Like, okay, I robbed you again, didn't I? I'm sorry. And the guy's like, it's okay. I understand. You can't control it. He's like, but tell me, is this going to be a common thing? He's like, no. The joke's over. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Oh, but I never heard that before.
Yeah, but I was like, that is the funniest. It's mean, but I was like, that's funny as fuck.
But it's still, it's not as bad as Japanese comedians. Like, have you seen my YouTube video where it talks about, where I talked about the most brutal Japanese prank?
Oh, which one? Was that the bed?
The bed? No.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, but it's not that. But... It was a Japanese comedian called Yamasaki Hose, and it was from a show called Downtown, which you live in Japan, I'm sure you know Downtown.
Yeah.
And it was one of their ones in maybe the 90s or 80s. And basically what they did was they did a nomikai, which is a drinking party, after one of their shoots. And then Yamasaki got really drunk and was dancing around. And Hamada and Matsumoto, the main comedians on this show, decided to get two big black guys to stare at him. Mm-hmm. And so while he was drinking, getting drunk, he'd notice these guys are staring at him. And then he'd come up and he's like, Hamada, Matsumoto, I'm kind of scared. They keep staring. And they're like, don't worry about it. And then they go to the guys and, I'll skip that part because it's not important. But Yamasaki goes to the bathroom and those black guys follow him. Mm-hmm. And while he's in the bathroom, they push him against the wall. They take out a fucking cucumber and they pretend to rape him. And he's crying and he's like, help me, blah, blah, blah. And Hamada and Matsumoto are just fucking laughing, literally. And like, it is funny, but it's also way too brutal. Like,
Really, they're like brutal. They're like threatening to rape him.
No, they're actually putting it on his bum.
I
don't know if they're putting it in. I hope to God not, but I would not doubt that they did. But they're literally like, his pants are down with a cucumber and saying, yeah. And then Yamasaki is like crying. He's like, I'm sorry. Don't I have a kid? And it's like, it's brutal. And then after they come out with a little sign, like candid camera, then they're like, dokiri desu. Like, we're just joking. It's a prank. And he's literally like snot and crying. And he's like, oh, that's so good. Because as a comedian in Japan, once you know it's a game or something, or you're on TV, you have a television face, right? You have a television attitude. So you can see him trying his hardest to be like, you really got me. That was funny. But literally, he was scared for his life.
Yeah.
And yeah, going on to what you say, comedians go too far. I would set someone up for a prank like that, but I would hate to get that to me.
Yeah. Actually, I agree. Like, yeah. I'm thinking the same thing. A lot of these shows, the Japanese do go very far for a joke. I was like, being a celebrity in Japan, especially like a talento or someone who goes on these variety shows, like must suck a little bit. Well, being that you don't know at any point if you're going to get a crappy prank played on you or not.
Yeah,
you can also, you never know. Like, so it's difficult to know if you're actually in a bad situation or someone's just fucking with you, like a prank. Yeah. And so I think, like, if you're someone, so I think, I know it's like a lot of them, they just assume it's real until it's not, because that's a safer bet. Like, you can't be like, oh yeah, this is a joke. It's like, nope, this guy is really going to try to kill me. I should probably run.
Yeah.
The bed prank I was thinking of is, I can't remember who was involved, but it was one of these comedians. I guess he was sleeping in some house. It was like a fake house. I don't know how it went, but he was like on a bed sleeping, and then they strapped him to his bed and had like these two cranes. You know, like the freaking slingshot, that ride, the slingshot ride in the mouth? Like the ball of people.
Yeah.
So it was like that, but he was strapped to a bed. And like the walls from this house fall down, and then the bed goes up,
it's on,
and there's these fireworks, and it's like these loud whistles, and he's like, oh, "What?
That's a recent one, isn't it?
Maybe about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. I think they did that one again too to someone. Scary shit.
I feel like it's about. I was like, that's just freaking. That could have went wrong.
Well, they did a lot of bad ones. Like the T-Rex one is famous now, or the sniper one you can see on YouTube. But I remember seeing one where it was a porta potty on the beach. And once they're like mid shit, the walls fall off and there's a string and they pull them out onto the ocean on the toilet.
Yeah.
Like, one, you got your pants down. So you're kind of like, wow. Two, you're in the middle of the crap. And three, your toilet paper is gone because that was on the wall. So what the hell are you going to do?
Yeah, what if you had like a...
Those were brutal.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I think though now in Japan, they're changing that because a lot of Western influence is coming down on them, and cancel culture actually has reached Japan.
Yeah.
One of the recent Gaki no Tsukai, the New Year ones they do once a year, the no laughing... They got in trouble because Hamada of Downtown did blackface to do Eddie Murphy, I believe.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a big debate. And they've done it for so many years. Like blackface, whiteface. They did really horrible sketch with whiteface where they had a big blonde wig. Like you never hear of whiteface. And I mean, fuck, whiteface has no real meaning, but I'm sure white women were offended with a white afro. She had a big witch nose with a big wart. And she was called Miss Erotica, I think, in Japanese. Miss Erotic. And the whole point was it was Matsumoto Hitoshi, and he had big tits. He was like a Marilyn Monroe. And he was teaching Japanese English, like an English teacher. And he would just say things like, say sex. So it was really funny because it was like really gross white woman with... like horny as fuck, but disgusting looking.
Yeah.
But like, it would be canceled immediately if it was done now.
Yeah, there are like a lot of, I think, bits and things, even things that we probably thought were funny when we were younger, that would definitely get you in trouble. And there are a lot of things in Japan, but I think a lot of things that are done in Japan are not done through malice. It's done through comedy. Like, they don't mean anything by it.
Yeah, I agree. Except one. So there was a recent cancellation of Matsumoto Hitoshi's show, which was called Freeze on Amazon Prime. And I was telling a Japanese person about this recently because they didn't even know. But it was a TV show by Matsumoto Hitoshi where the idea was, instead of you can't laugh, you can't show emotion. And he would do things to scare you. And in one segment, and it's a pretty funny show, but now they had to stop after one season, but they still kept it up. You know what I mean? Japan style. We're sorry, but we're not sorry. Yeah. But in the segment, he has, I believe it was the comedian Kuki. No, it wasn't Kuki. I always mix up his name. Anyways, one comedian. And he's a younger comedian. So, of course, they have the senpai kohai, which means he can do a little farther. Mm-hmm. And he had a drone with a kitchen knife, a plastic kitchen knife, but a sharp one. Mm-hmm. And the drone kept going towards his head. And Machan was flying the remote going, ah, ha, 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 ha. But then something clicked in Machan and he was like, it'd be funny if we actually stabbed him. And so the drone went and he's like, more. And they're like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, more. And then the knife hit him in the forehead. Blood started dripping down his face. And there's Machan, like the greatest comedian in Japan, just going, ah, it's great. And everyone's like, I think you went too far. And then they canceled it. He lost the show, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, he wasn't canceled because his other shows kept going. But
they
did, you know, I think maybe one of the first times a show got canceled for going too far.
No. Yeah, I think after a while, you I guess they finally established a line. I mean, obviously, anything you're doing to harm someone. But I see people getting punched, slapped,
killed. Oh, yeah.
You know, almost annually rape, as you mentioned. But yeah, I think
I got slapped for a commercial too.
Oh.
For a Japanese wrestling one. And they're like, oh, well, we won't do it hard because it was this big guy and he's famous. It was for AJPW, I think. And then I was like, well, no, you can slap me. And they're like, no, JJ, like, he's a professional wrestler. And I was like, well, you know, you do half. And he fucking hit me hard. Like, I could tell he didn't mean to, but like, damn, it was like big ass hand, the Andre Giant of Japan, like, so.
Oh, is it that freaking hustle guy?
Hmm?
No, someone else. Never mind. That guy's far too old.
Who?
The freaking. I was like hustle.
Yattiri, yattiri.
No, he's a hustle. Maybe he's too old for you. Maybe not. Maybe he's a different guy.
Okay.
Maybe he's a different guy. Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe a different bit. I don't know.
I see.
But yeah. And then I was going to ask you, going back to the military, callback. I wanted to ask you too, was because topical is in the news, a Pentagon official came out and said that the Nintendo generation has too brittle of bones from not exercising enough. Therefore, the U.S. Army, the 18 to 25 range, is now weaker than they were before. Did you have any thoughts on that, or have you heard that?
It's my first time hearing that.
But oh, yeah.
But I'm not surprised to hear that.
It's definitely old thinking, because I think we would be the Nintendo generation, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like people in their 30s, 40s are the Nintendo generation. Oh, but
it's just got very old, like 50s, 60s?
I would imagine. I don't know. It was big news.
Yeah. Honestly.
It literally said like they're not like mentally fit or physically fit to do the army. Like their bones were breaking in training. And hearing David Goggins, you would be like when I heard what David Goggins went through in the army, like he busted his ankles and shit and were running still. Like that's the army mentality. Yeah. And then now you think of it.
He was, because actually he was Navy, but he did train with the Army also. But
yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Because he like, especially like Navy SEALs, they have the hardest training.
Yeah.
But I think it's a mental thing. I think a lot of people feel like that. Like everyone thinks the generation after them is lesser in some way.
Right.
Like even when I was a teenager, I remember some old guy was saying like, oh, you kids are trouble. He was like, this Tupac is a problem. And I was like, Tupac's a poet. You don't understand anything about him. He's a poet. He's a genius. And then he was like, oh, you stupid kids. He's not a poet. Poetry. He's a rap. Beep, beep, bop, bop, bop. I'm going to shoot a motherfucker. Bop, bop. I hate that kid. And I was like, that's not all rap. You're like trying to defend your musical taste. And like, so I think it's always like that. Like, so now I have people, my generation, who have teenagers and smaller kids, and they're like, these kids are stupid with their little, no freaking TikTok dances, you know, and everyone's doing the same dance and it's just all the same. And I was like, it's like, yeah, but if you really look at it, if you think about where you were at that age, you were probably the same. It just looked differently. It looked different, you know, but I think it's the same. Like when I was a teenager, we would do stupid things with our stupid games. And honestly, if we had TikTok when I was a teenager, I think we would have the same thing. I don't think there would be any difference.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I mean, we didn't though. Like it's kind of interesting because I agree with you to a point, but at the same time, like I was thinking when the Nintendo came out, I think I was really young, like really young. But when it came out, we wanted to play it. But of course, we still like going to the beach. We still like bike riding and shit.
Yeah.
And we still had mental strength, right? But with Corona and all this shit now too, you can literally see people's mental go down. People are sitting in, well, even before Corona, video games, 24-hour streaming, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe they are a little weaker physically.
Well, maybe some people are. I think so. Like, because when I was a kid, I grew up at a time where, like,
you played road by the corner store, checking,
throwing lawn darts at each other and trying to catch it with your hand.
Damn, you did some extreme sports.
Yeah, you know, like I was in the generation where, like, if I stayed in the house too long, my mom would be like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, right.
Like it's like, oh, I want to stay home and watch TV. And my mom's like, "No. You're going to take your little ass outside."
You get kicked out of the house, right?
Yeah, you're going to go outside and you're going to play right now. It's like, fine. Mm. You know, but then, like, I also liked going outside. Like, once that happened, my friends like, well, I want to go outside. I want to go play in the dirt and, you know, freaking, you know, play with bugs and just do things, you know, whatever, just kid stuff, you know, riding bikes. I remember we used to ride our bikes down a hill and then we would like try to like slide and try to get as low as you can to the ground without touching your knees and see how far you can slide. I mean, things like now that like I've seen a kid freaking recently, I've seen a kid like riding a bike and he like did like a little like wheelie, like, and his freaking mom almost had a heart attack. "You're gonna break your neck." I was like, oh, God. My mom didn't care if I broke my neck.
She cared about it. we better not let your mom see that. We'll have to edit that. You know what I mean? I felt there was more of a community when we were kids. And I mean, I'm not shitting on the generation because they have their community, but it is more online, I feel. Hmm. Whereas I remember being a kid, we'd go to the arcade, which is something Japan still has, by the way.
Yeah.
But I remember going to the arcade being, I don't know, 4, 5, 6. And there would be 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then I someone to look up to. Oh, they're really good at Street Fighter. I need to learn. I'd watch them play. I'd learn. I'd ask them tips. They'd give me a quarter maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
There was like a community, right? You didn't have inside playing video games or going outside. It's like the movies too. Someone just said that the other day. It's like, I think Joe Rogan was talking about it. It's like, why would we go to a movie theater anymore? We have big screen TVs, HD in our house, and we don't have to have any worries of people throwing popcorn or kicking our seat. Why the fuck would we go to movie theaters?
Yeah, honestly. Like now, honestly, like.
But some people love it.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the movie theater, but like, I do feel a bit antsy now with Corona and everything. Like I wanted to go see the Batman and they're actually showing it on base and I was going to go tomorrow to see it. But I'm talking to my wife and she's like, you know, just, I was like, well, I can double mask. I just won't get nachos like I usually do. And I'll just sit in the back corner. She's like, yeah, but you're in the room. And what if, like, no, you're in the room and it's the first showing. It's in a big American movie. It's probably gonna be packed. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know what?
I'll just. And it's like 3 hours.
Yeah. So maybe I'll just wait a week.
Yeah.
I'll go see it at a Japanese theater in the afternoon. Maybe like on Friday, where there's no one, where there's very few people there. So maybe, especially I'll go here in like in your Costa Rica, that if they're showing it at the theater here, and I'll just, you know, get a seat that's away from people, and like hopefully I can enjoy it. But I don't want to put off seeing that movie. But anyway, like, so back what we're saying though, I got lost.
Kind of like a community.
Yeah, community. Like, yeah. So same thing. Like, I was thinking of a story I heard where, not trying to make it a man and woman thing, but yeah, like where, like if someone saw like a child in trouble, you know, you would help that child, and then the parents would be like, "Oh, thank you." Nowadays, it's like you quite, especially as a man, you question like, "Oh, wait, can I help this child?" And not, you know, be accused of being like a pervert for no reason. Like I heard, like I heard a story of a guy was saying like he was walking down the street and he saw like a little girl, like maybe two or something, on the sidewalk. And he saw her taking a step to go towards the road. And it was a kind of a busy road. And I guess her mother wasn't like looking or something. He didn't see it. He's like, "Oh, whoa, come here, sweetheart, come. And he, you know, he grabbed her, you know, he didn't want to touch her, but she was about to go on the road. So he kind of grabbed her, you know, and he just touched her a little bit, kind of like, "Oh," and where she kind of turned and went the other way. Mm. And then like, I guess some adult lady saw him. It's like, "What are you doing?" And the local girl was like,
"This is America, I'm guessing."
Course, right?
Yeah.
"I'm just trying to keep her from going through. I saw her heading towards the street. She's fine. Who are you perfect?" He's like, whoa. It's like, I'm a father too. I just want to see a little kid get hurt.
Yeah.
And then he's like, she made a big deal about it, you know. And the guy said, no, he saw her going for her cell phone. He just got out of there. And he's like, it made him sad because he's like, I can either protect myself and let this child get hurt. And now I'm the bad guy, or I can help this kid and not really doing anything, but yet still I'm a bad guy.
Yeah.
I can't be a man and exist in the world and be helpful. So, which is, I don't want to get too deep in this message, but I feel like that the message that, especially in the West, that women are giving men is that you can't do anything right. We want you to be part of your kid's life. But we also don't want you to be part of a kid's life. Don't know if it's like, if it's not your child, they want you to ignore it, or they want you to be a man. But if you're being a man, you're being toxic. So it's like, you don't know what you want.
A lot of stuff in that now in the West.
And I think it's mostly young. It's mostly young women, younger women and older women who are kind of lost. But I think it's like, I don't know. But then it's the same thing with like, man.
How would you feel though about that? You have a kid, right?
I don't have any children.
Do you? I thought you had a kid. Whoops. No. Sorry.
It's fine. Yeah.
But
like even for me, it's like
I'm kind of that way too. Like I wouldn't want, if I had a girl, fuck. If I had a little girl, because my mom was always scared of pedos and stuff.
Yeah.
So if I had a little girl, I'd be pretty overprotective too. But you know.
Yeah, but I would look at this.
Not like. You know. Saving her from fucking crossing the road, but
yeah, like I would look at this. Yeah. I wouldn't always assume the worst, you know.
Yeah.
But I think I know some people the whole better safe than sorry, you know.
Yeah, and what you were saying too, it reminded me there was a South Park episode and it was fucking hilarious. I think I'm gonna watch it today, actually, now that you reminded me of it. But it was Butters, and I guess some guy tried to stab him or something. It was like, I can't trust anyone, and they're like. He goes to bed and he gets a visit from like the ghost of human kindness. And he's just like, you have to trust people. See, if no one helped this person, he would have died. But luckily someone trusted him and called 911 for him. Or this kid would have crossed the street and got hit. But luckily someone saved her and pulled her away. And he's like, thank you. I understand now. And he's like, good. Now get in my van. He's like, what? He's like, get in my van. And that was something funny, like South Park is great at doing, right? Is it's like you lead them and they're like, you know, that's true. And then it's like, oh, fuck, you're right. Okay. So there is no win.
there's no. Yeah, but
I can. But it is a weird time. And like,
Yeah.
If they're complaining about the Nintendo generation, then goddamn, be scared about the
TikTok generation.
Corona generation, right? Like kids growing up with masks at 4 years old and can't see other kids smile. Like that's going to mentally screw kids up.
I think, yeah, I think to an extent, yeah. It's not even just that. I think just this situation is just like, obviously, I think at the end of this, society is going to be changed permanently.
Oh yeah, totally.
We don't know, like it's like the immediate effect. We can probably guess, you know, people working from home more often, people feeling I think people.
One world government. Well, let's not get too far.
I feel like some people are worried that this no separation is going to drive us apart further. Mm-hmm. I think the opposite is going to happen. My prediction is that, yeah, I think social media is kind of like people where we're connecting digitally, but not physically. But I think now being told where you can't, like, oh, you can't see other people, I think it's going to make people want to get out and be around other people.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is going to have a reverse effect, social media. Because I think I thought people are social, but you can socialize through social media. But you also had the option to see someone physically. But now when you can't see your loved one, you can't have that physical contact, not even just contact, like just presence of another person is good enough for you. You know, I think it's gonna cause people to want to spend time together. My opinion.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But
in 1 year or 2 years, we had so much division in the West. Like we had Black Lives Matter, Stop Asian Hate. Now we have the Ukraine, and it's just like there's so much division, so much. And then now you got the Nintendo generation, the boomers, the Generation Z, and it's just like, God, can't we just say we're humans? Like, and the only way, you know, how we're going to reunite humanity is when you tell us where the aliens are. Why? It's because once the humankind knows that there's aliens, all the racism in the world. It's going to be on the aliens. You know what I mean?
Not human.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Every race, Asian, white, black, everyone, they're all just going to hate the aliens, and it's going to be all on them.
Yeah, honestly, I think...
Unite into anti-racism.
I think a lot of times people, we focus too much on what's making us different, like what makes us different. Like,
and not people, what's the same.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the answer is to just be okay with someone being different.
Well, and you want someone to be different too.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Honestly, like do you want to be around people who think exactly the way you think, who look, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Like it may make you feel comfortable, and I think that's more of a primal thing. It's like being around a familiar, but so like the same thing, like you mentioned, like people like in the US, like especially I think it's media driven, because for the most part, if you look like day-to-day life, people,
totally is. Yeah, it totally is media driven.
It's media driven mostly. And so media and people start thinking about that, and then it becomes reality because people think, oh, that is reality. But it's not. But anyway, exactly. So I feel like there may be division, like there may be some people who are like, well, I don't really hang around a lot of Asian people or white people or Hispanic people. So maybe I'm not comfortable. I don't hate them, but I'm not comfortable. I hang around a lot of people. But the thing is, it's you look for what is the immediate connection. So let's say that same person was to go overseas now, and then they run into an Hispanic American. They're going to immediately connect with this person because now you're from my country. So the most immediate connection we have is America, so that's good. So now we have that connection, and we're going to connect together. But
that's one thing.
And I heard like this: the same thing happened. Like it's good. Bring it back to the military. In Vietnam, there are even World War II. Some instances, there's people like black and white people who were friends because they were comrades. They were fighting this war together. But then it was. I don't know if this is in a true story, a movie I saw, but someone said, like, we're friends now, the Black House. He's like, but as soon as we get back to America, he's like, I don't think we can be friends.
I think I was platoon. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
I can't remember what it was, but he was saying, like, you know, like we're friends now. And the guy's like, yeah, I know. He's like, look, let's be honest. Like, we're not going to be able to hang out. Like, we're from two different Americas.
Well, back in those times, too, was very different.
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah, he's like, you know, he's like, you know, guys, like, no, we're going to be friends, you know. And I don't know if this is a story sometime, I can't even remember, but
it probably happened for sure.
But honestly, I think in the end, they did become friends. Like, they went back to America and they did actually become friends, you know, because things are changing, you know. But at that moment, they couldn't see it. So I think it's the same thing. People focus, just like I say in the military, like we may say, oh, this guy from the Army is dumb, or this Air Force guy's lazy, or this Navy guy's probably gay or something. Like, they all have that stereotype. But at the end of the day, if it's military versus someone not military, they're going to choose the military person. It's not fair, but people, like, we have our tribes, you know, and whoever, you know, I think it's like levels. Like, oh, so this is like the next highest level we can agree on.
Well, so, and that, two things on that was, one was, or did you have something else? Sorry.
Go ahead.
One thing was, like, you were talking about the comrade of being in the Navy or that, and that's similar to doing martial arts. Like, doing jujitsu and stuff, it's like, wow, you know, you got me an arm bar, you can break my arm, but I know this guy won't because he follows the rules of the dojo, right? So that's why a lot of people, like in Japan, everyone has forced judo, men and women. And that's why I think that idea of Bushido, Japanese people, man or woman, old or young, have this Bushido mentality where it's like, I'm going to treat you like a human being for the most part, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I think not military, but jiu-jitsu or karate or something should be mandatory in schools, is because it teaches you this way of working together in unity.
Yeah, and I also I think even just having some martial arts training does make the world seem less scary, not because you think you can beat up everyone, but because you've been put in situations
dangerous.
I've been put in like a rear naked chokehold. I've been put in a freaking a plata. It's like, this guy can just lift his hips a little bit and he can destroy my shoulder for life.
Yeah,
but it's not, because I trust him. Yeah, because I trust he's not going to do it because he knows the risk.
Yeah, and there's rules, right? Like the dojo rules. Yeah.
And also he's like, well, I'm not going to do it to you because I want someone to do it to me, but also because I don't want to break my training partner. No, you don't want to break the people you're training with too. So, but when you know situations, you're like, it feels like scary. So when you're in a scary situation, you know, okay, I've been here before, even though I may not be as safe, but I know what it feels like. Because in an instant, you think, oh God, this guy's going to freaking, you could just think for a second, like, this guy could go crazy or not stop thinking and just know, like, he can go complete the arm bar. He could freaking destroy my ankle. I actually had a guy who almost broke my leg.
Oh, damn.
Almost, he didn't mean to. He was very new.
Okay. Yeah.
He's very new, but, and like, I was very calm. I was like, okay, you have to stop. You're breaking my leg. He's like, what? He's like, I was like, no, I'm serious. You're breaking my leg. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, why did you sound so calm? I was like, well, because if I overreact, you're going to overreact. So I have to stay calm. And also, I was like, I've been in a situation, so I'm not worried because I knew I can stop you from breaking my leg because I can just say you're breaking my leg. So yeah, I'm confident you would stop when I say so. He's like, okay, sorry. I was like, you didn't do
There's
it.
There's definitely... what you said before too, like, you need that person to get better. You need that person to survive, like in the Army, right? Like, you can't be a dick to your teammate, or else that guy has anxiety or whatever, and then you're in help. He's just like, yeah, fuck that guy, and you die. Like, you can't, you know that's there, so you can't do that. Same with jujitsu. You break his arm, he can't help you get better, or, you know.
Yeah, and now
camaraderie.
You're also the person who hurts their training partners, so no one wants to train with you.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're the dick. No one.
You know, they get weeded out quick.
Yeah, and then people may think, oh, you know what were you trained? Are you Gracie? Are you Alliance? Are you 10th Planet? These people still talk to each other. So if someone says, like, this guy from 10th Planet broke someone's arm, so this is his name. If he comes to your school, then you're freaking, what's the word?
Outed.
Something non grata means no one wants to touch you. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the same thing. Like, so I think,
well, like my dojo, Cobra Kai, too, like, we had this saying that it was like, if someone comes in and they can't control themselves, like a juiced up guy that's just like, oh, I want to crush everyone, my instructor would be like, okay, Stu, and our top guy Stu would wrestle with him and just destroy him, like a tournament, no mercy. Cobra, yeah. No mercy. Cobra, and Stu mercy. Would Stu is like a badass. He's a young kid. He was gonna do UFC. He was talented. And he would just crush them. And then he would go to us too. And they're like, when you go with this guy, crush him. No mercy. Because he is a danger to everyone.
And so you gotta shut him down quick.
If they get destroyed like that, they either step back and they're like, oh, I see what I did, I'm sorry, or they get the fuck out because yeah. they're a risk to all of us, right?
Yeah.
And it truth be told, it was kind of fun when that happened because it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I
a little brutal, yeah. But it had to be done.
Yeah, I've rolled with people who are pretty strong, and it's like, all right, it's like, oh, I know I'm much bigger than you, so no, I'm not gonna go like full. But then the same thing, like it was this one guy, I think he was like 16 or something, but he was like a wrestler. He was pretty good though. He's a very, very talented kid. And I remember he's a really skinny kid, like one of those guys with high metabolism. And yeah. This guy came in, he's like, oh, I'm gonna wreck this little skinny kid. It's like because like the kid, he knew it was better. He would go easy on people. And this one guy kept on like trying to like, oh, because he's stronger, he's like going a little bit harder because he felt like, oh, I'm stronger than this guy, I'm not gonna win. So he's like, he was over there and he looked over at the teacher and he's like, quit. I'm gonna let you lose. And then he just, the same thing, he's destroyed the guy because he thought he was better because he's bigger. It's like, no, this guy is a very talented kid, you know, he's a wrestler, so he brought in that ability. You know, they don't like being on their backs, as you know. So,
yeah.
They don't like that at all. So he, you know, he just wrecked this guy, you know, because he was skinny, but he was strong. Big doesn't always mean strong. Big can just mean big. And this kid was very strong. You know, he didn't look it, but he was fiery.
There's a lot of those. Like, even when I went to Thailand, I was trying to find an MMA gym to practice, and this young American guy, maybe 18 at the time, I don't know, he was like, oh, do you mind if we just go? And I'm like, well, sorry, man, I don't know you, and today's jiu-jitsu, we're not doing MMA. He's like, oh, you know, I'll be fine, we'll go light. First thing he does, puts me in a heel hook, which, if you don't know, 5-10 seconds in a heel hook, they can break your ankle, you're limping for fucking months.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know, this guy's like, oh, we'll be friendly, you know, we'll have fun, trying to get me to go with him. And he puts on the number one dangerous move in the first 10 minutes. So I kicked his hand off my heel and then just like grabbed his back, choked him out in like 5 seconds. And then he was just kind of like, I thought we're going light. And it was like, like, we were until you pulled that shit on me, motherfucker. And then he didn't.
I got a feeling he probably didn't know what the crap he was doing.
He knew how to do a heel hook.
I mean, like he probably trained it, but I think some people probably just don't think about like what exactly the submission's doing and the damage. So,
yeah, well, then it goes on to like who taught him, and then it goes on smart he is, blah blah blah. But the point is, yeah, it was like, let's have a friendly, we also say in jiu-jitsu, let's do a slow roll, which means you're moving at like 50% pace. Yeah. And sometimes you get people and they're like, yeah, let's do a slow roll. And you're like, oh, that's great, my back hurts today or whatever. And then you do it and they're just like, bam. And it's like, fuck. Like one time in Kyushu in Japan, I was living in Kyushu for 2 months. So I had to do jiu-jitsu wherever I went, and I got a new dojo and I did all this. I almost felt like I was doing in Japanese what they call a dojo yaburi, which is where you go to a dojo and you fight their main guy and take their plaque. Because I went into like, I don't know, at one time I went to Nagano, Kyushu, and Yamaguchi Prefecture, and all of them I needed a dojo to train in, except Yamaguchi maybe. But anyways, I went to like 5 different dojos in my whole time in Japan, maybe 10 or 20. And every time you go there, people are like, oh, white guy from the West, we got to crush them, like Japanese mentality, right? And but when I went to Kyushu, there was Brazilians and stuff too. And this, I went with the black belt and he's like, hey, let's do a light roll. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, you feeling each other out. And then all of a sudden he starts going a little more. So I go a little more and then he goes a little more. Next thing you know, I'm choking out their teacher in their school in Kyushu. And so he's like, tap. I was like, okay. And then I was like, I think I fucked up. Because then everyone in the fucking dojo lined up to spar with JJ. And then I got this fucking like brown belt Brazilian guy. And we're on our knees to start because, you know, a lot of people are going right now. They're like, okay, Hajime, start. And the first thing he does is go like this and pokes me in the eye. And I was like, oh, hey, stop. And he keeps going because you know what I mean? Like he wants to revenge his sensei, right? And I was like, no, stop, sit, seriously. And then he goes, okay, we have like a 2-minute breather. I'm like, okay, I'm good to go. And again, start, pokes me in the eye again, happened like 5 fucking times. And I'm like, you're a fucking brown belt poking me in the eye 5 fucking times? So I went ham on him too. And 5 minutes maybe, he couldn't like touch me the whole time, but he's so big that I couldn't do anything either. But
yeah,
there's a lot of that. Yakuza too, sparring with Yakuza.
Yeah, you told me about that. Yeah, I've also learned like when I was doing jiu-jitsu, I started when I was in California, but then when I went home to visit my family, I went to a dojo. I was like, oh, I want to train, and I found one. I think they were Alliance.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
They're Alliance. But the main instructor, the main sensei, was a female, but she was really nice. She's really good. And but they were training for a tournament, so I went there on a day that they were their focus. She was just teaching them to get ready for a tournament.
Yeah.
So I was rolling with actually a guy from the army. He's like, "Oh, you're both military. You guys can work together." He was, I want to say, he was a purple belt, maybe it was a blue or purple belt. I can't remember, but so I said, "Yeah." I said, "No, I've been doing it for a few months." I was like, "I don't know how well my." The teacher was, because it was kind of like a casual, just buddies, no kind of grappling and stuff. So we were rolling. He was like, oh, he's like, oh, I can see you got a little bit. He's like, but you know, so he was just giving me pointers and stuff. But I realized like, God, I suck. but it was really like, it was really nice. I was like, I tried to pay her. She's like, no. She's like, you know, you are a guest. You know, like this is your first time.
That's cool.
Like, so you're a guest. So it was really, they were very welcoming though. And actually I learned a lot. That one day I was like, she's a really good teacher. So obviously if I lived in my hometown, I would probably definitely would have went there more often, because it's like she's a really good teacher.
Yeah, there's a lot of
I guess they must have been like champions of the area, because the best school in the area must have been, because like, yeah, because she said like all these like medals and like the awards, and like she's like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's lots of good dojos. And then what was it? Paristra was the one Shinyaoki went to. And before I came to Japan, that was where I wanted to go, because I love Shinyaoki. But when I heard Japanese people talk about him, they're like, he'll, you know, like black belts will spar with white belts to go easy, you know, teach him, right? But Shinya, being a black belt in judo and jujitsu, basically unstoppable in grappling, recently not so much, but he would go and literally break white belts' arms. Just because, and like, I wanted to spar with Shinya. I was like, that was kind of a small dream of mine. I was like, just to spar with him, he'd beat me, but whatever, it'd be fun. But everyone I met that was like Japanese black belts were like, no, you don't want to. Like some people have, and it's weird. I noticed it in Japan a lot. Like a lot of Japanese black belts, for some reason, like they joined martial arts because either they were bullied or something bad. But they kept that negative mentality with them, so that every time they spar, it's like a fight to the death. Like they can't go slow. They have none of that. And it's weird, because I never experienced it really in the West. Like once you get purple belt or halfway through your blue belt, jiu-jitsu people are usually like, cool, I'll help you.
Yeah.
We'll roll slow. Yeah. But some people.
Yeah. Yeah, you have no cool. Yeah, they're humble and stuff. Yeah, cause like, yeah, actually, it was a guy I knew. But this guy excelled at everything he did, literally. Like, just to give an example, like, he actually got up to the rank of E7. Now, to make E7, it usually takes someone around average 18 years.
Sorry, E7, is that military?
Yeah, rank, okay. Rank in like E7. Oh, no, actually, I'm sorry, E8. He's email, he's E8. And he did that in under 12 years, which is almost unheard of.
Damn.
He eventually became an officer where this guy, so he achieved everything. He was a high achieving person. So when I found out he did jiu-jitsu, and I was like, yeah, he's a purple belt. And I was like, oh, how long have you been training? about 3 years. And I was like, did you just give you those belts for no reason? Because like, I thought it would take longer, but no, he broke down what he did. He has a notebook, and every move, he would write down how to do every move. He would study it when he wasn't, like he studied it when he wasn't doing it. So that was his thing. He studied it and he'll practice. So when I rolled him, I was like, this guy, but he was also, he was kicking my butt, but it was very graceful.
Yes.
It was like, it feels like you don't have control of your body anymore. And you think you're doing things, but they're making you do those things.
Like when you get swept slowly, like a scissor sweep or something, and you can feel that guy has all the control and he's being nice to you compared to like when a white belt does it and they hit you and it's just whoom.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's how you can tell. That's a good example of how you can tell someone's good in jujitsu. Is like, I got you in a sweep and I'm letting you down slow.
We had a bit of purple belt like that. Like it was, what was this move called? Is it like butterfly sweep? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of actually.
It's something similar, right? Yeah.
Butterfly sweep.
Like this guy, like he was like she was trying to show us this move where all right, we're like, no, like you're squared off. Where in under 5 seconds. He has this move where he basically is behind you. He's controlling you the whole time. Like once he grabs you, you're out of control somehow. He's controlling you. He takes your back, have you in a rear naked chokehold in under 5 seconds. And he doesn't hurt you. He's controlling you the whole time.
Yeah.
He said when he saw that move, he said he trained it. He wanted to learn how to do that. And that is, and he said that's how you need to take every submission, every move we're showing you. It's like you need to obsess over it. It's like when you're obsessed over it and you practice it, and when you can do it smoothly without hurting yourself or the other person, then you've mastered it. He's like, that's what you got to shoot for every move. It's like your aim isn't to hurt the person, your aim is to control the person so they don't hurt you. And that was his philosophy.
Yeah, that's a cool philosophy too.
Yeah, and he was best, also a young guy.
The best offense is a great defense kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you make me want to get back into it.
I really do miss jiu-jitsu. Like I was watching the video last night. I really do miss it. Like there is an MMA school that's down the street from our house. Well, down the street, it's probably like a 30-minute bike ride. But I really wanted to go there. But like you mentioned, I'm also kind of antsy on going to new schools.
I don't know anyone, especially as a foreigner.
Well, go watch first. That's what I recommend people to do, is you go in and just be like, can I sit and watch? And they'll be like, of course. And then you watch how their teacher does and you watch how the people do. And you'll see who you shouldn't go with and who you should. And yeah, because today I just had a plumber come by. That's kind of why I have the blurred background, is because this is clothes actually hanging. So it's not the best background for everyone right now. Huh?
I said, next to your list of girlfriends.
Yeah. Yeah. And passwords. Yeah. But, he also is like, he's in his 40s and he was telling me about jiu-jitsu and how he wants to try it, but he has knee pain and everything. So I'm kind of telling him the same things. Like, you got to be careful, go in, watch, see who it is. But yeah, it's fun. You should do it.
Yeah,
I want to get back into it, but
yeah, I mean, I still have my gi and I still have my my jiu-jitsu Bible.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I have a Yuki Nakai or another one.
I'll show you. Hold on for a second.
Oh, okay. Sorry, everyone. This has turned into an MMA podcast. We'll be right back with your regular program. Just hold on. I gotta ask him about that yellow thing. Looks like a penis. I'm wondering what it is. Okay, let's see.
I was also trying to find my tense jiu-jitsu university book.
Oh, okay. It was a different one than I was thinking. Who's the author? Oh, Saulo Ribeiro.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard his name before. He's good.
Yeah, so I've been, like he has like all this.
Okay, yeah. That's how they start doing them now. They're good. What's the penis on the background there? You got a little yellow penis with a red head on the wall.
Where?
Behind you.
Oh, this is a Lego man. I think I might have got
it. Oh, okay. It was just like folded, so it looked like a little mushroom head.
Some of these are my badges from when I went to some conventions in the States.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Then here are my little opposite. Line? Yeah, because we were talking about line.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah. Right on, man.
Knows if you can't see, I'm a Harley Quinn. Up here, I have my Finn.
Oh, you're full blown otaku, eh? Oh, you like Finn?
Well, my wife gave it to me because he's a Black Star Wars guy, and she knows I like Star Wars. Yeah, I have like all kinds of bobbleheads.
She didn't give you the Mace Windu. She had to give you Finn.
Yeah. Like, oh, I do like Star Wars. I don't know anything. So,
oh, he's that's still nice, though. That's yeah. still nice. That's like if
I have a Gundam. I don't know why. I don't even like Gundam, but I have it.
Oh yeah, you get little trinkets. I got my Optimus Prime. I got from Japan down here.
Yeah.
I try to decorate it nice, but now my place looks like an otaku too.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Another little Star Wars thing.
Cool, man.
I don't even like Pokemon. I got Pokeball. Like, this is actually my wife. Some of this stuff is my wife. This
is looks like we're doing an unboxing video now.
Yeah, I got this in Korea, actually. It's supposed to be
Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
All right, cool. But yeah. Right, man. I think we did an hour and a half or more.
Yeah, it's been about an hour and a half or more.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll end it here and then, yeah, we'll do another one. It was fun.
Yeah, definitely. I'll get you on my podcast when I'm ready.
Hold on, I got to plug in my Mac, actually. It's telling me it's 10% or 5%. So yeah, we went pretty long, but it's good. It was fun.
Yeah. And I get some more material, you can edit down, whatever.
Nah, I don't know.
Some clips or whatever. Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, we'll do clips, but.
Yeah. Actually, I've been trying to do that with the one I recorded with Budaka-san and Dante.
We'll get into that after, though. Yeah. For now, let's say goodbye to everyone.
All right.
That's my buddy Tyrone. We talked about it. We talked about aliens. We dove into martial arts. We dove into the world being on fire. We had a good time. I think we talked a lot about a lot of fun stuff.
Good times.
Yeah. Did you enjoy your time here?
I did.
Damn it, I wanted to school me. I wanted you to be like, nah, fuck this shit. It's too late, you're too nice.
This was the most unprofessional.
I love that. It's supposed to be a little bit more unprofessional. I was too nice, man.
Nah, I'm joking. No.
But all right, guys, thank you for watching.
Thank you.
Tyrone is living in Japan, where I am not, so technically he's the some dumb guy, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just dumb. All right, guys, thank you so much. Till next time.
Peace.